bless you, Lord.
Recording in progress.
All right, so as we come to our sermon today, this is the Advent series that I'm actually using the theme coming from the Christ's birthday offering, entertaining angels, as we celebrate this today. And Christ's birthday offering every year, of course, the offering goes to help the missions projects of the Women of the Church of God, to servant items that are near at hand and far away, those that are protecting against slavery and against oppression, and feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and caring for our missionaries, as well as also just supporting the general work of the church. This theme, entertaining angels at Christmas time, is one that's kind of important, or kind of clear as well, because angels show up all over the place in the Christmas story. And so we want to be talking about that. Today we're going to talk about this, this title, Make Praise. Make Praise. And coming from Luke 1, 46 to 55, I'm first going to read the scripture as we have it here. It says, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant, and behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." Well, Make Praise, the title of that. And this began with that reading of what is known as the Magnificat. Hannah was giving thanks to God for answers to her prayer in the gift of her son Samuel. And Mary here considers herself blessed as she stands in the presence of her kinswoman Elizabeth, who also, though past those childbearing years, had been granted the gift of a child. Now I want to kind of help you get a little picture of what's going on, because there's three stories actually bound up into this one because of the history we have in the scripture, and the history even that's wrapped up in this song of Mary. It goes back to the stories of Hannah, to the story of Elizabeth, and also to Mary's story. There's three feminine figures faced with impossible realities, wrapped up in miraculous, unexplainable wonder, and flooded with praise. Now, those aren't my words. Those are words given by the in the sermon starter notes for this day in the message. But I love that. I love that that sentence there. In the vignette of this narrative, we see three feminine figures faced with impossible realities, wrapped up inside miraculous, unexplainable wonder, and flooded with praise. Well, this Magnificat, as it's called in the liturgical churches, is Mary's magnificent song. It's written in the style of Hannah's song, And so I want to kind of review Hannah's story. It goes all the way back from in 1 Samuel. Hannah's story is a story of being without. In 1 Samuel, her situation is described in the first chapter as being the wife of a certain man, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name, yeah, you knew that, right? First chapter of Samuel, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. Now, that's one of the keys that ties this together. Ephraim, the hill country, the area where Bethlehem was, and the home of this righteous man who came year by year to sacrifice at the tabernacle rather than at the temple, because the temple had not yet been built. And verse 3 says, year after year he went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. And whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Penaniah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And this went on year after year. And whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Well, after that, Hannah got up, and she went to the tabernacle. We're told that Eli the priest was sitting by the doorpost of the Lord's house there, and Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping and crying, weeping bitterly. And Eli was watching her and saw her mouth moving, but didn't hear anything. And Eli, quite frankly, thought she was drunk. She was, you know, this person who came with this dreadful situation and made this heartfelt supplication became misunderstood at the doorpost of the temple, or of the tabernacle. And so Eli, what a gentleman he was, he says, "Hey woman, put your wine away from you and quit being drunk." And Hannah said, "Oh, but sir, I am not drunk. I am just speaking to the Lord from my heart, for I have a great, great need." And when Eli realized what it was she was saying, what it was she was praying, then he blessed her. Her prayer was this in verse 11, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." Well, when Eli heard her explanation, as she said, "I am a woman who's deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. So don't take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying." Well, Eli figured out he was wrong. Good thing. And he said, "Go in peace, and may the Lord God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." And Hannah returned a blessing, "May your servant find favor in your eyes," and went away. Well, she was blessed and impressed by what was going on. And blessed by this priest who thought at first that she was showing up drunk, impressed by the fact that the priest returned to her a blessing, that she was able to go away no longer downcast, it says at the end of verse 18 in 1 Samuel. And so eventually, it says that in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant, gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Now, she was faithful to her promise, and she made her sacrifice before the Lord. As Samuel was weaned and was ready to eat solid food, it says, after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And she said, "As surely as I live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Well, that was fulfilling her vow. She made a vow when she prayed. Sometimes we do that ourselves. "Lord, if only you will do this, then I will do that." Now, the problem is we tend not to be as faithful to that promise that we might make in that vow as Hannah was. But God takes us seriously, and God took Hannah seriously. And when this had happened, God poured out a blessing upon her to the point where we have Hannah's song written in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. And here she was, long barren, bereft, waiting for a child, but so grateful that God had seen her and answered her prayer. And she was so grateful to God that she was quite willing to fulfill her promise. Sometimes when we get something we prayed for, even if we said, "Lord, I'll give it back to you," or "I'll give you half," or whatever, we like to hang on and keep it for ourselves. But she promised to give him away, and she fulfilled that promise. In her prayer, when you read it in the first 10 verses of 1 Samuel 2, we have the story of her praise, which is, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There's no one holy like the Lord. There's no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." Unbridled praise. Make praise, our title said today. She talked about in that prayer similar things that were in Mary's song, that pride will go unanswered, but prayer will be answered, and God has amazing grace for all that trust in him and is assured of their protection. Well, we also have, that was Hannah's story, long barren. She had a rival that really ragged on her because being barren was seen as a curse, and a woman without children would go into her later years without support. There was no welfare system except what families might provide. And so it was important that God would not just free her from her shame, but also provide for her of her needs. Elizabeth's situation wasn't too much different from that, as we read that in the first chapter of Luke, because Elizabeth's situation in Luke chapter 1, 5-7, was very similar. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Well, that was her situation. Her situation, you remember, goes on with the service of Zechariah. It's his turn to serve at the temple. He's inside the temple, and he's making his offering, and he's making a prayer to the Lord because he truly desires that this wonderful woman that was his would be blessed, and their their home would be blessed with children. Well, an angel came down and said, hey, I heard you. God heard you. In fact, God sent me to tell you that you've been heard and your prayer is answered. Now, John was the one that was going to be born. John was the name that was given to Zechariah to give to this child that would be there. And the wonder of that moment was so unbelievable that Zechariah said, are you sure? I'm pretty old here. I don't think this is going to happen. And the angel said, hang on, kid. My name's Gabriel. And it is God himself who sent me here to talk to you, for he has special plans for this child. Well, how will I know? Angel said, that's easy. You won't be able to say another word until the child's born. And so when he left his post, people saw that something was different about Zechariah. And he couldn't speak. And he began to try and make signs to show what was going on. And everybody knew something had happened, but they had no idea what. Well, that promise was fulfilled as Elizabeth was known by her husband and conceived. It says in verse 24 and 25, after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord had done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. So she was blessed. Her disgrace had been lifted. Well past midlife, she was blessed with a child, though her husband had been mute, and she might have been afraid of what would happen being as old as she was and being pregnant. Well, in the meantime, we have the story of Mary being chosen. Mary is chosen in the story right ahead of the song that we're looking at a little bit briefly in this. It says in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, same one, that visited Zechariah. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he said, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, chosen. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Well, all this is good, but here's a woman, probably unwed, sent to visit her family. Get out of town for a little while, Mary. This would probably be best. And so she goes to her kinswoman, Elizabeth. We don't know the exact relationship, so cousin is the easy way to say that there. It just says that she was part of her family. And it gave some time, it gave some space, probably gave some protection to her since she was unmarried and pregnant, a rather delicate and dangerous situation in her world, but she was trusting and believing God. Of course, her story was one of miraculous intervention. Her story was one of God granting a son that she hadn't prayed for, but because she was chosen by God, God was going to do something special in her. Well, Mary comes to Elizabeth to spend some time. And we have this amazing little story of what Elizabeth experienced here. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know just what was going on here, whether this baby was alive and kicking in a sense before this, or whether this was the first time Elizabeth felt it. I kind of think that the pregnancy had been going well, but here Elizabeth needed some assurances day by day that this was going to work out all right. And in the presence of Mary, carrying in her womb the very Son of God, something special happened in Elizabeth's heart as she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she burst out in praise. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." That is the response of Elizabeth to the presence of Mary. And as Mary is there and hears that, she has a song of her own. Things were falling into place. Just as they had for Hannah, they were falling into place for Elizabeth. There was special promise going to result from this. By the way, go way back to Hannah's song. Samuel, who was born of Hannah, who was given to the priest, is the one who anointed King David for the leadership. That same throne anointed by Samuel, the son of Hannah, was going to be fulfilled in the life of Mary. These stories hang together with these three amazing women. Dependent on the care of husbands and fathers and sons for their survival, they were given a male child to care for them. It made their roles of wives and mothers fulfilled, and life was turned into good. Now, in Mary's song to God, she did not know yet how things were going to work out, but she still considered herself blessed. Her song again, let's see, go back to my first page where I can see it in bigger print. Her song again was this. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's looked on the humble estate of his servant. Behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the humble with good things. The rich he sent away empty, and he's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." Three women here, one great God. Each of these women had a need answered. Each of these women were blessed. Now, the need that Mary had was not clear before she was pregnant, but her need was the same as for all of us. Her need was for a child. Her need was for her sins to be forgiven, just as for all of us. Her need was cleansing. Her need was life. And she became, in a sense, the mother of her own salvation through that. Well, these three women, one great God. We see that God is at work. There's always hardship in our lives. There's always challenges in our lives. There were hardships in the lives of Hannah and of Elizabeth and of Mary as they came to this time. And each one was granted a special miracle. And it's a story that reminds us that we need miracles too. Hannah had the miracle of a male child that restored her place in her family and silenced her critics, but also became a priest and prophet in the house of God who anointed David, who was a great, 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 great. There's 7 or 14 different generations, depending on which one you read, until you get to Mary in the story here, a member of the house of David, as was her espoused Joseph. We need those miracles in our lives. We live in different times. We live in different places. We all have needs that we can't meet. We all have questions about our life. We all have things that need to be solved. And some of us, it might be about our children. Some of us, it might be about our healing. Some of us, it might be about our relationships. Some of us need to pray about stability and employment and what to do with the resources we have or we don't have. But I want you to think first, what miracles has God already done for you? What's your story? What are those things that you never thought would happen that God has said, but I have special plans, I have special needs? Like a 30-year-old man who owned a bicycle shop where God visited through a special word from a preacher. And Dave Collette became a pastor over time. I never expected that, but God set miracles in place for that to happen and to use me in significant and amazing ways that I never would have guessed. And God showed me a long time ago, it's about the significance of what happens. And God uses us for significant things. Bobby has stories that she tells everybody about all the time. And you have stories too, but maybe you haven't thought about telling them very often. Maybe you haven't thought too much about sharing the miracles of God in your life. Maybe it hasn't become part of your conversation in the stress of life and living and everything else. But God has done miracles for you. Think through them. Discover what they are. Some of us really know what it's like. Some of us have kind of missed God at work and we don't catch it till later. But I want you to know that even though life is hard, God is still at work. And so what miracles are you praying for? What miracles are you believing God for? What miracles are you already praising God for? See, Mary and Elizabeth had no idea what was going to happen. But they praised. They praised God for the miracles he was working in their life. I wonder if you're ready to believe in the miracles that God wants to do in your life. And praise him ahead of time for how that's going to work. God is able. This one who made you out of nothing, well, he made the universe out of nothing. He made you out of the elements of earth. But he breathed the breath of life into you. And what other miracles is he doing as he continues to breathe life into you? There might be another complication at work. There might be another diagnosis you are worried about. There might be another relationship that's challenging. There might be another phone call that you dread. There might be more hardships to face. Probably there are, actually. But God is still at work. Praise him already as you believe him for miracles. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you that you are a God of miracles. Thank you that you show us in this string of stories from before the time of David till through the time of Christ that you are at work doing amazing things. You do it through the women you have chosen. You do it through the faithful men who stand by their sides. You do it through your purposes and for your results. Even as Samuel was born to finally anoint David after he was judge and priest and prophet over Israel. And how David became the king that tied things together and was the man after your own heart. How Elizabeth was given the gift of John, who would proclaim the coming of your son. How Mary was chosen in amazing ways and protected and given a husband that would believe you when it was impossible to believe. We thank you, Father, that you have miracles for us. Help us to believe you when it seems impossible to believe, and help us to praise you for those things we haven't seen, but you will do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing our final song,
glorious now, behold him.